Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable and to a really one of my favorite people who is with us, who has a fascinating new book out, and it comes out tomorrow. So we want to celebrate that and talk about it this morning. Philip Glotzbach is with us, Skidmore College's seventh president, and he is here to discuss his new book, Embrace Your Freedom, Winning Strategies to Succeed in College and in Life. The book delivers straight talk about how students can achieve a life-changing college experience and how parents can help them make the most of this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Glotzbach cuts through the contemporary fog of misinformation about going to college and speaks directly to new students about what a college education is for and, yes, how not to screw it up. Dr. Glotzbach served as president of Skidmore College for 17 years. His new book is Embrace Your Freedom, Winning Strategies to Succeed in College and in Life. He will be launching the book tomorrow night at Northshire Bookstore in Saratoga Springs, New York at 6 p.m. You can find out more about that event by going to northshire.org. I'll give that at the end of the segment. But in the meantime, more importantly, he's with us this morning live in studio. How are you, sir?
I'm fine, Joe. Thanks for having me here.
It's really good to see you. It's really good
to see you.
I will tell you that I have been, I'm an uncle, and I'm in semi-involved in the process of working with my my last niece, who the youngest, who is going to college in the fall. And so with that viewpoint, I read your book. And it's so fascinating because obviously you know this process very well. And I think that sometimes parents, sometimes kids, think that they're the only ones going through what they're going through. And yet, a pretty universal thing, isn't it?
There's a lot of similarity, and even going back over the ages, although I think going to college today has changed a lot from when you were
sure.
in college or when I was, but a lot of things are still there. There's a certain amount of anxiety that students feel, exhilaration, excitement. Parents go through those sort of emotions, too. And one of the purposes, maybe the main purpose of the book, was to try to demystify this process. You know, there's so much anxiety that's generated today in the admissions process, and students often feel so much pressure to get into just this one school or their perfect school, whatever it is. And sometimes they do and sometimes they don't. One thing I talk about a little bit at the beginning is to say, look, give your school a chance. If it wasn't your first choice school, that can be great. Many students end up at a school that is just fine for them. But the real question is, what do you do once you get there?
Right.
What, you know, you're in. Now what?
So I want to go down that road in a moment. I just want to there's a line in the introduction where I say that you cut through the fog of misinformation about going to college. As you see it now, what is that misinformation? What do you see as some of the battles and challenges that kids and parents have in making this decision and going forward and actually attending college?
Yeah, one of the great myths right now is the hyper focus on getting a job. Employment is obviously really important. We want our college graduates to be employed, but the truth is that today's graduates are going to change careers many times over the course of their working life, maybe up to eight to nine times. That's careers, not jobs. So how do you prepare for that? You don't prepare for that by doing a narrow course of studies. The narrower the course of your studies, the shorter the shelf life. You prepare by doing something that you're interested in, your major, and learning how to learn in depth. But at the same time, you need to be broadly educated because you need to be able to draw upon knowledge from different fields. You need to be able to change your mind. You need to be able to pivot. You need to have confidence in your own abilities. And you need to have the cognitive skills that are necessary to succeed in a very complex workforce today. Think critically, read well, write, communicate, all those kinds of skills. Enormously important today, and students need to focus on that. One other myth that has really become ingrained in our thinking about college is that it's only a private good. This line of thinking started a few years ago. Ronald Reagan was a great proponent of it. Sure, it is a private good. the graduates receive the benefits of a college education, particularly, again, with regard to employment and so on. But it's also a public good. Colleges and universities should be preparing students to become citizens in the Democratic Republic today. We know that there are a lot of issues that we're all dealing with, and these students are going to be living with these issues for years to come. So we need to help them think about what it means to become a citizen. And the third part of this, it's just not talked about much today, is education for character. I don't use the word character in my book, but we've seen, particularly over the last few years, that, say, our government only works when people of character are serving in it, when people do the right thing. And a lot of this book has to do with asking students to think about what kind of a human being do you want to be when you grow up here? What kind of adult do you want to be? What does it mean to do the right thing? What does it mean to have integrity? And you can pursue those kinds of skills and abilities and goals in a college education, but you have to do it yourself. Your college is not going to educate you for character unless you go to one of the military academies, and they do a very good job of that. But so those are the three things: broadly educated, education for citizenship, and becoming the kind of adult that you can be proud of.
You have much more experience in this than I do. I am but just a lowly adjunct. but over the 15 years that I've been an adjunct at several different colleges, the one thing that I have noticed is and I think this is fairly it seems to me to be a fairly strong question that students will often ask me, which is this worth it? Like, I'm sitting here and I'm looking around, and is this worth it? And yes, I mean, I worked at a college who closed its doors.
Right,
and
right.
So I think that's also a question where you sort of have this mid-college life crisis, if you will, of what is this leading? Like, is this worth what I'm paying? Is this worth the hours I'm working on it? And, you know, back to your point of eventually, yeah, getting employed and going out and being a productive member of society.
Sure. And that's a great question. And it's an understandable question. We should all ask that. One thing I want to say is that you should go to college on purpose. Not everybody needs to go to college. And there are other options beside that. So the first question is, well, why are you going in the first place? What do you want to get out of it? You don't need all the answers. But a student should go to college for reasons, to be intentional about it. Is it worth it economically? Sure. I mean, the statistics show that if you have a college graduate degree, you're going to make, on average, $1 million more over your working life than if you don't have it. I mean, you can just say that. But the real worth of a college education has to do with the three things that I mentioned. Sure, your capacity to be employable and to function in this complex, ever-changing, rapidly evolving professional world of the 21st century, your capacity to be an informed, responsible citizen and to live a life of personal satisfaction and flourishing, to be a parent, to do a good job of that.
Right.
So the value that should come out of college is much broader than just the economic side. The economic value is important. It's there. And if you do your work as a student, you will realize that value. But it's the larger package that ultimately gives the value to this education.
You address in the book about what parents can do to understand what their kids are going through when they're at college. And I think that's important because perhaps the parents never went to college, or, as you pointed out, the situation has changed greatly since they went to school.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, back when I was in college, the model was fire and forget. You know, you're off to college and you're in charge of it. Today, parents are much more engaged with their students' lives, and so it's a bigger transition for them, too.
How is that good or bad?
Well, it is what it is.
I
think in many ways it is good. Sometimes it doesn't work out the way we want. Parents need to continue to be engaged with their students, but not as much and not in the same way. I think that the value of this book for parents is, first of all, if they read, there are two chapters for parents at the end. They should read those. My advice for parents is read the introduction, read those two chapters, but then read the rest of it because, yeah, it gives you information about what's going on in college and what I hope that your student's going to be thinking about. You know, the question that parents need to answer for themselves is, how can I be involved in my student's life and supportive, continue to be supportive, but not too involved? One metaphor I use is that you're in partnership with your student, but the terms of this partnership need to change. The student in college is moving towards becoming a more senior partner. The student needs to take more charge of this relationship, not the parents. And so how do you manage that? Well, I do talk about that. And it's a matter of letting go. Parents need to let go, and students need to let go, too, of parts of that relationship that were familiar with them in their earlier days.
It's one of the reasons I love the title of the book, of Embrace Your Freedom. There is a freedom to you're out of the house, you're on your own, you're going, maybe you live at home and you're going to college, but still there's a freedom that comes with that. It's your schedule. And that, you have to figure out a lot of things. I was really struck by this in reading the book, because you start talking about, you know, what that, like, those first, that first introduction to colleges. I mean, that's a freight train of stuff coming at you, isn't it?
It is a big change for students. For many of them, it's the first time they've really been on their own. Their parents aren't there telling them what to do. Now, again, the parents haven't fully been in charge of their student's life for a number of years anyway. That's also true. But
they may not know that, but they
weren't. Right. But it's a transition. It's a milestone. And so students all of a sudden are really on their own in a new way. And what I'm asking them to do in this book is to think about what that means. And I talk about two different ways of thinking about freedom, what I call a negative and a positive. And I won't go into great detail, but it's pretty intuitive. The negative aspect of freedom is, nobody's telling me what to do. It's the absence of a certain kind of outside control. And if that's all you think about, it's an invitation to go nuts, to go crazy, which some students do, and that doesn't have a happy ending. But the more positive way to look at it is that it's a way of taking charge of your life, of setting the goals that are important to you, deciding what values are important to you, and then doing the things that you need to do to implement those decisions over time within the context of a community, and understanding that we never do anything all on our own, and we have obligations to these larger communities that facilitate our own goals. So that's the more interesting, mature, and complex notion of freedom that I push in this book. And it becomes a motif that runs through the whole book, which was why I chose the title.
We have a minute and a half. Why are colleges having such a tough time?
Oh, there are all kinds of reasons. But there are economic pressures on colleges and students, and we could talk about that. We were talking about my next book, Joe, so I can't don't want to go into too much detail.
Well, good. There, well, save it for the next conversation. But I'm interested in just how in the confines of this book of succeeding in college.
Yes.
When the possibility is that your college is having trouble succeeding.
Yeah. I would say that the situation of colleges and universities today places even more responsibility on students than perhaps in the past. Students really are going to need to manage a number of things. I mean, if you talk about the different political currents that are going to be encountered in college and so on, students need to figure out where they stand. They need to make their decisions. They need to be critical thinkers and to engage critically with their professors and with their friends. They need to engage with people who may be quite different from them and learn how to do that and learn the value of that. So there are a lot of things that students really need to do if they're going to take full advantage of this wonderful opportunity, and that's what the book's about.
The name of the new book, Embrace Your Freedom, Winning Strategies to Succeed in College and in Life. Dr. Philip Glotzbach is the author, a president of Skidmore College for 17 years, and he'll be celebrating the book tomorrow night, 6 p.m. at Northshire Bookstore in Saratoga Springs, New York. You can find more about that event by going to northshire.org, northshire.org. Philip, it's always a pleasure to see you. Congratulations on the new book.
Joe, thank you very much. Thank you for having me here and for the conversation.
Always nice to have you. Thank you very much. Again, you can find out more about the event at Northshire Bookstore on tomorrow night, 6 p.m., July 9th, northshire.org.